Okay, praise the Lord. Good to see all of you here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we have made the choice to be His. Amen. Thank you, Father. And we do say, I am yours. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And in becoming His, one of the key things that we have to be aware of is our heart. We are to be wholly His in our heart, to come to Him with a whole heart, with a complete heart, with a full heart. So tonight we want to talk about guarding your heart. Man is made up of five parts: the spirit, the heart, the soul, the mind, and the body. Jesus put it this way: you, talking about you, the spirit man, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength, referring to the body. So that is the five parts of man. To grow and mature as a Christian, the heart is the essential ingredient. The heart that is fully fixed on God and instructed by the Word of God will lead to a life of blessing, power, authority, which is able to overcome every challenge of life. We need to learn to live by our heart. By our heart. So let's start with understanding the heart. What exactly are we talking about? If you want to look at it in secular terms, you could call it our core value system. What we really believe about life. Core values underpin how you live your life. When you come to a point where you need to make a decision, your values guide that decision. They are unspoken rules, regulations, terms, and conditions by which you have agreed to and ultimately live by. Whether or not you consciously consult or are aware of them isn't important. They are the captain of what you do, what you believe as the truth. And they are the result of what your life looks like, or another way of saying that, your life is the reflection of your values. Psychologists tell us that by the time a child is around 5 years old, they've already developed 50% of their core values. You know, you get a precocious little 5-year-old, they know everything, right? They know how it should work. They know what mom should be doing, what dad should be doing, and they know how the house should be run. They know everything, right? And they know what they want to wear, and they know that, you know, all this kind of stuff, right? See, that's part of their core value. They're already building that. They're 5 years old, and they know it all. They say that by the time one is 18, about 85% of their core values are in place. But where are those core values coming from? For most of us, it came from our parents, our school, schools that we went to, the teachers that we interacted with, relatives that we had, that we interacted with, our churches, pastors, flawed and perfect. Well, I guess we wouldn't say there are any that perfect, but flawed and not so flawed. Let's put it that way. So what ends up happening is that we live most of our life by all these inputs that were coming into our life from the time that we were 5 until we were 18, maybe, you know, a little older. And of course, those values, they fluctuate as events and things happen. And many times those values, those core values, are not really godly values. You know, I was talking to my dad the other night, and he said that when he first registered to vote, he registered as a Democrat. Well, why did he register as a Democrat? One guess. His folks were Democrats. So because his dad was a Democrat, he was a union man and believed in the Democrats. When my dad registered to vote, he registered as a Democrat. Although his, quote, values were not that. It's just that that's what he chose because that's what he was raised with. And so for many of us, that is where our core values have come from. And like I say, they're not always godly core values. Matter of fact, most of the time, they're probably not. That's where a lot of the iniquities in our heart, the twisted thinking about things come from. So we need to evaluate what is in our hearts. And we need to make some changes in our lives, because as Christians, as committed Christians, as maturing Christians, ones that want to be mature, ones that want to be here when Jesus comes again, we have to have values that are based solely on the Word of God. Our hearts have to be fixed on Him. Our values have to be His values. Our heart has to mimic His heart and what is on His mind. So as we're understanding core values, let's look a little bit at what it says in the Old Testament. I found this to be a very interesting verse based on what we just talked about in Proverbs 28:26. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. Whoa. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. You know, that's kind of where we get some of those sayings like, if it feels good, do it. You know, we kind of start setting our own values because it's based on what feels good. The Old Testament would call that the imaginations of their hearts. It said that in Genesis 6:5, that the imaginations of their heart were wicked only. See, the heart of man, when left to itself, tends towards the wicked. That doesn't mean there aren't good people. That doesn't mean that some people's hearts aren't good and they have good parts. But a lot of us know the evilness and the wickedness of our own hearts. So I want to read that verse to you. It says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walks wisely shall be delivered. Well, that's kind of interesting. Delivered from what? Well, first of all, delivered from foolishness, because it says, but whoso walks wisely, in other words, in the wisdom of God. And one of the things that the wisdom of God tells us is that when we're walking in the wisdom of God, we're walking in the fear of the Lord. When we're walking in the wisdom of God, we're walking in His understanding and His knowledge. When we're walking in the wisdom of God, we learn to hate evil and the evil way and the haughty heart. I'm quoting from Proverbs 8, verse 13. So we're not to trust in our own heart. We are to trust in God and His Word and what the Word of God has implanted into our heart. In Proverbs, it talks about the good heart, the pure heart, the righteous heart, the heart of the wise, the heart of the perfect. So there are good hearts based on the Word of God. Now, these are people that were living under the law. But there are also those that had evil hearts, that were wicked, foolish, unbelieving, froward, the froward heart. In other words, a perverse, uncontrolled, undisciplined heart. Jesus put it like this in Mark 7, when he was talking about that it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him. Verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, which is uncontrolled, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Wow, that's a list, huh? That's what proceeds out of the heart of man. So, we can't trust our own heart. We need to let our heart be changed, to let our core values be instructed by the Word of God. In, just to kind of strengthen this a little bit, although I'm sure you're well convinced about what I'm saying, but in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about the unregenerate man like this. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So the heart is blind without God. It doesn't know where it's going. It doesn't know how to get there. It just does the best it can do. But we, praise the Lord, we have a heart that is regenerated. We have a heart that God has been working on. Now, that doesn't mean that, before I go there completely, that doesn't mean that the Gentile, that the uncovenanted person, the non-Christian, that doesn't mean that they don't have something in them that tells them what's right and what's wrong. Romans chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says this, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these not having the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. In other words, in their heart, God has placed in each man what some people will call has placed eternity in each man's heart. They have a basic understanding of what's right and what's wrong. You know, that is wrong to steal. It's wrong to commit adultery. It's wrong to do these things against other people. It's wrong to murder. There is an innate understanding of these things. So it's not that they're without hope, and it's not that there is not some goodness, but in God is where our hearts need to be shaped. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We read a few minutes ago about that they had blinded hearts. Here we see that the evil one, the God of this world, has blinded their minds from the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. But let's read on. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as servants of God. For God, who commanded the light out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So as a non-Christian will open up their hearts and receive the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, their hearts will be changed because Jesus Christ is now shining in their hearts. Paul put it this way in Romans 5:5, that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. So there is now a development that is happening. Because when man was born again, some things begin to happen. Their spirit was reborn. They now have a spirit that is without sin, but something began to happen to their heart also. You know, there are two ways that the heart, the core values, are changed. One way is by a dramatic experience. Could be good or bad. A dramatic experience that completely alters your way of thinking about things. And salvation is one of those experiences that alters our understanding of who we are. When Jesus Christ comes into a person and their spirits are reborn, their hearts begin to change. Their core values take on a newness. Their core values are changed. The second way, which we'll be talking about more detail in a few minutes, the second way that the core value is changed is by repetition. By repetition. By over and over and over again. Implanting the new things into our hearts that we want to have different. And like I said, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Ezekiel 36:26 talks about that I'm going to put, this was in what was going to happen when the Messiah came. I'm going to put a new heart. I'm going to put a new spirit in man. No, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. So that was another aspect of what's happened to us as we were born again. Now, that doesn't mean that we're perfect in our hearts, because sin can be in our hearts. We can have a mixed heart, iniquity, and God's word. The goal now is to get the iniquity out, to get the twisted thinking, the wrong thinking, the things that we were taught as children, as young adults, from the experiences that we had that caused fear and pain and various things in our lives that cause us to have a skewed way of looking at things. We need those out of our hearts so that our core values become His core values. Part of that is letting Christ, the anointed one and His anointing, dwelling fully in our hearts. In Colossians, a corollary verse to this one in Ephesians, it says, let the word of God dwell richly in you, in your heart. Let the word of God dwell richly in you. Let Christ dwell in our hearts by faith. So we're going to talk a little bit about how that happens. First of all, let's talk a little bit about some basic characteristics of the heart. First of all, in Proverbs 23:7, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, that really reflects the core value. As we think, as we evaluate things in our heart, that's who we really are. That's why it's so important that we change, so that the who we are, the who we want to be, becomes the real us. And we change that by changing our core value systems. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Another characteristic of the heart is that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever is in abundance in our heart will start coming out of our mouth. And that can be good or bad, because the next verse says, for a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of his evil heart, brings forth evil. So that can be a conundrum many times in our lives. And that is, we have good, and good things come out of our mouth, but we also have those iniquities that also come out of our mouth. And the important thing about that is that it's our tongue that guides our life. And so that's another reason why it's so important to change our hearts, to have hearts that are set on God, that have hearts that are instructed by the Word of God. So let's talk a little bit about guarding our hearts. And I want to do that by looking at Proverbs chapter 4. If you turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23 is the key verse for this. Verse 23 says, keep, or another word for keep, guard. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are all the issues of life. Guard your heart, because what's in your heart will govern the issues of your life, the things that come out of your life. Let's start in verse 10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. So first of all, let's just understand that the basis of these scriptures is the Word of God. He is instructing his son in the law, in the right way of living, in the things that will bring good and life to him. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. In other words, they won't be stumbling. They won't be hindered. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. That is an attitude that we need to have towards the Word of God, towards instruction on how to live our life according to God's way. Verse 14, he begins to clarify a little bit more. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of the evil man. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. I'm going to skip down to verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. But the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So we see here the contrast between the heart that is walking in the right way, that leads to paths of light and more light and glory shining in our life, versus the path of the wicked, the ones with the blinded hearts and the blinded minds, that it says that they stumble. They don't even know at what they stumble. Let's go on to verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Attend. Two things that we can learn from that word, attend. First of all, one of the things it means is prick up your ears. Prick up your ears. Listen. Listen to the Word of God. We need to have ears that are attending to the Word of God, that pricked up, that are paying attention. It also means to hearken. Now, hearken should mean to you, hear and do. It's just not listen to the word, but it's hearken. Hear it and do it. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. That is an important aspect. We have to attend and prick up our ears to hear it, but then do something with it. We have to do it. Hear it and do it. And incline thine ear unto my sayings. In other words, lean towards it. Incline your ear towards it. You hear the Word of God, should catch your attention, and you should lean towards it. You know, sometimes I kind of do this with Penny. She'll say, I love you, and I lean a little closer. I say, can you say that again? See, I'm inclining my ear to what she has said. See, we need to incline ourselves. Incline our ear to hear the word of God, to lean in. Notice here we're talking about the ear gate. It's going to be an important part of guarding our heart. We need to guard the ear gate. Verse 21, let them not depart from your eyes. So we need to not just be hearing and attending, doing the word of God, but we also need to be looking at it. We need to let the word of God be in our eyes so that we are evaluating our life according to the word of God, that we're just looking at it. It's good to listen to CDs, it's good to listen to tapes, but when we actually look at it and see it, whether you're looking at it in your Bible or whether you're looking at it on your computer or whatever, look at what the word is saying. Don't just be hearing it, but keep our eyes on the word. See, the evil one desires that we not hear, that we not see, that we stay away from the word of God, that it be put on the bookshelf. Get home from church, put the book on the bookshelf, and you pick it up again next week when you head back. That's what he wants, but that is not what we should be doing. We should be keeping our eyes on the word of God. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. Keep them in the midst of thy core value system. The psalmist put it this way, hide the word in your heart. He says, I've hidden the word of God in my heart that I might not sin against you. At Psalm 119, I think is verse 11. Hide the word of God in your heart so that I would not sin against thee. In other words, let it be part of your core value. Hide the word of God in your heart so that you can do it. Verse 22, for they are life unto them that find them and health to all your flesh. I want to go back to verse 21 for a second. Notice there it says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Now that is the exact same word that we found in verse 23, keep your heart. It says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Now we got two different things going on here. Now this particular keep is talking about you are keeping something in. So in other words, keep them in the midst of your heart. Put a guard around them to keep them in your heart. So you're keeping it in. Now the other one in verse 23 is keep your heart or guard your heart. What you're doing there is you're putting up a blockade to keep things from coming in. So we want to keep things in our heart, and we want to keep other things out of our heart, that we're guarding them from our heart and things that we're keeping in our heart. So we want the word of God to become our core value. We keep it in our heart. We want the things that we don't want part of our core value kept out of our heart. Okay? So that's why the gates of our heart are so important. We have gates, the five senses that feed into our mind, and we see life through these five senses. That's how we experience the things around us. And our brain takes those and puts some sense to them and instructs our mind. And so we then evaluate things based on what has come into our brain. Our mind looks at it and says, what is this? Is this good? Is this bad? Is, you know, what should I do with it? And what we want to have happen is then our mind, we'll look at that in more detail in a few minutes, but our mind, because it's been instructed by the Word of God, because we have been attending to it, we've been doing it, we've been looking at it, we've been keeping it in our hearts, then our minds will filter out the things that are contrary to the Word of God. That's the idea. That's the intent. So that we are walking by faith in what God and His Word says, and not by sight based on what inputs coming into our senses. So we keep out the things that we don't want to have in our heart, and we guard the things that we want in our heart. Keep thy heart, guard thy heart, keep things out with all diligence. And actually, that word diligence is another way of saying guarding, is being vigilant, like a soldier that is commanded to guard someplace. My dad has this funny story about when he was in the Navy and they had this area that they were guarding, you know, the naval yard. And so one of the things they do is they put them out, you know, they take a truck and they drop these guards off, you know, at night, especially to do guard duty. And they give them a fake gun, send them out there guard duty in the middle of the nowhere, in the middle of the night. And Dad said one time he was there and he was doing his guarding duty and he started leaning on his gun. And next thing you know is he kind of came to and he thought, and they looked down and here's his dog curled up at his feet. So that's not the kind of guard duty this is talking about here. This is talking about vigilant guard duty. And sorry for telling your stories there, Dad. He's watching tonight. So, that's not the kind of guard duty we're talking about here. We're talking about the kind of guard duty that is vigilant. The kind of guard duty that is like when the demilitarized zone in Korea, where you had live people with live ammunition, not very far from each other. You know, you got to be vigilant. That's not the time to go to sleep. And that's what we need to do with our hearts. It's not the time to be going to sleep on our hearts. We need to keep them. For out of the heart flow all the issues of life. And that's what we got to be aware of. We'll talk a little bit more about this in a minute. But the heart is the veil between the spirit and the rest of our being. And so when we want to see the power of God for blessing in our life, for ministry, for the Word of God to become full and complete out of our lives, the heart is the important part. So out of it flows all those issues, all the things of God that we want in our lives. So we need to guard it and guard it well. So we guard our heart by controlling the gates, garbage in, garbage out. We control our words. In Proverbs 26, verses 24 and 25, it says this, "He that hateth disassembleth with his lips, and layered up deceit within him. For when he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart." So this is talking about the contrary. But what it shows is that when the heart has these, what they call the seven abominations, it's deceitful, it's doing things and saying things that are contrary to what is good and what is right. So a good heart will speak good things. So we control our words, and even like it talked about a few minutes ago in Proverbs chapter 4, to put away from us perverse lips and froward mouth. We probably ought to go back to Proverbs 4 and look at that a little bit closer. Verse 24, Proverbs 4, "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." Let's go on. Verse 25, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee." In other words, don't be distracted from the Word of God. "Ponder the path of your feet." Ponder the path of your feet. Is where you're going where you want to go? What is leading and guiding you? Where is your feet headed? Because our feet show the direction of our life. Our actions, our words, the things that we're doing show us the direction of our life. We may say with our mouth, "I want to do this, I want to serve God," but what is happening in our life? Do we keep coming up with excuses and distractions about why today you can't serve God? And then the next day, it's the same thing. Why you're not doing it? You're letting distractions and stuff. You're saying with your mouth, I want to serve God, but your life, the direction of your feet are showing something different. So ponder, think about, evaluate the path of your feet. Because what that's also showing you is your core value system. You say with your head, say with your mouth, I want to serve God. But your core values are really something else. I'd rather have fun. I'd rather do this. That is your core value. Those are things that you need to evaluate and look at in your life. Is that really what you want? Or do you want to serve God? That's just one example. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Ponder the path. Find out where you want to go. And then remove your foot from the wrong way, from evil, from unrighteousness. Proverbs 23, verse 19. I really like this. He says there, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. So see, this leads us right into the next part. How do you change your heart? Be wise, and guide your heart in the way. God's way. The way of the Word of God. So, we have a choice. We're sentient beings, which means that we can look at what we're doing, we can evaluate where we're at, and we can make changes. Our core value systems can be changed. The direction of our life can be changed. And we can look at that, and we can evaluate where we're at. That's one of the things that makes us human. We have a free choice. Dogs can't do that. Cats can't do that. We keep trying to get our cats to change their way of doing things, their way of thinking about things. But you know what? That cat still comes in at 5 o'clock in the morning to wake us up, even though we tell them that that's not the schedule. You eat later than that. But that cat, I don't know. There's nothing like getting pounced on in the middle of the sleep. And then he starts meowing. Meow. Please feed me. guiding your heart in the way. In the way that the Lord has set up. So how do we change our heart? How do we guide it in the way? It starts with the mind. And for that, we need to look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So it starts with our mind being renewed. It starts with the input that comes to our mind. Something that is different. Our mind needs to be changed. What's it need to be changed to? It needs to be changed to the Word of God. And that begins the transformation process, the metamorphosis. It's not just a conformity. We're not just trying to conform our lives to the Word of God. We want the Word of God to transform us, to take our core values and transform them to become God's values so that our core value becomes His values. It's a transformation. We're not just trying for a season to do things differently. In other words, conform. We are trying for eternity to transform us to something different. It has been set in motion. We are new creatures in Christ. The old has passed away. All things have become new. In our spirit, there is no sin. But where that transformation takes place is our heart. It starts with our mind being informed by the Word of God. So we have to be spending time in the Word, reading it, studying it, speaking it, the Word, to transform our lives. It starts then with our mind being renewed to the Word of God. Now, our heart gets changed. That's the changing of our mind. Our heart gets changed when we then do the Word of God that we have been learning in our mind. In other words, we become hearers and doers. We act on the Word, and we act continually on the Word. Remember I said that the second way that the core values are changed is by repetition. It's not just deciding one day I'm going to do something different. I'm going to obey the Word of God today and then not do it again for another 2 weeks or whatever. It's continuous, a continual change. Jesus put it this way in John 8:31 and 32. He said to those Jews that believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you will be my disciples." Continue means that you're doing it, and you're doing it, and you're doing it, and you're doing it. And then the next day you're doing it, and you're doing it. See, it's continual. He who's my disciple continues in the Word of God, and he'll know the truth, and the truth will make them free. That's the transformation. The truth makes us free. As we hear the Word of God, get it into our mind, as we then do the Word of God, it sets us free, because now our heart, our core values are getting changed. And when our core values are getting changed, then it sets a path for our life. The core value is the important part of it, getting our heart changed by the Word of God. So we act on it. We have to look at James chapter 1, verse 21. "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." In other words, stop sinning. "And receive with meekness the engrafted word," and in the Amplified it says, "the engrafted word in your heart." Receive the engrafted word in your heart, "which is able to save your souls." Receive it with meekness, realizing that the Word of God, and God knows more than you do. And so it is not up to us to make the decision whether this Word of God is right. The Word of God is what we should be following. It is right. Because what we're doing, if we do that, we are imposing our core values on the Word of God. If the Word of God says, just to take an example that shouldn't apply to any of our lives, let's say the Word of God says to stop fornication. But your core value says, that's okay and it's good and I'm going to do it. And you say, well, the Word of God can't really mean that, or it can't really mean it for me. See, what you're doing is superimposing your core value on the Word of God. It should start being the other way around, where the Word of God becomes your core value. So now, fornication is not according to the Word of God. So you stop it. So, verse 22, "But be ye doers of the Word." So we receive it with meekness, but then we have to do more than that. We have to do it. "Be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving their own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goes away, straightway he forgets what manner of man he was." Verse 25, "But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty," talking about the Word of God, perfect law of liberty, and continues therein. So there's another continues. Continues in the Word of God. He be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the Word. This man shall be blessed in his deed. So it's the continuing in the Word. Hearing it, doing it, gets it into our heart, and we see then the results of it. So it starts in our mind, with our mind being renewed, and then we act on the Word of God continually. As we continue to act, continue to do the Word of God. And then, remember we read in Matthew 12:34, that says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So now that the Word of God is becoming resident in your heart, now that the Word of God is becoming engrafted, now that the Word of God is in abundance in your heart because you're doing it and it is now your core value system, what will come out of your heart is the Word of God. What will come out of your heart is in conjunction with the Word of God. When a challenge comes, say a physical pain comes into your body, if the Word of God that you have been healed by the stripes of Jesus is part of your core value system, then a pain means that it's contrary to the Word of God and you immediately reject it. No, in the name of Jesus, pain, you have to go because I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. But if your core value is not based on the Word of God, your core value is whatever it takes, I got to get this taken care of. So you end up, you go to doctors and hospitals and those kind of things. That's your core value. So another way of evaluating your core value is what do you do in the time of a crisis? When something happens, do you call out to God or do you call 911? Do you get all panicky and scream and yell and run and flee? Or do you trust the Word of God, stand on the Word of God, become strengthened by the Word of God, and live by the Word of God? So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's where we talk about affirmations, about affirming, about speaking forth what we believe, what we want in our lives, the healing, the finances, whatever it might be. We speak it because now it's become part of our core value. And when we speak it out of our mouth, it releases the anointing of God. Remember, I talked about how the power of God that's in our spirit needs to come out. It comes out through our heart. As our heart is softened to the Word of God in a certain area, and especially as we begin to speak it and act on it, then that allows the power of God to flow out of our spirit and change that situation. So we speak the Word of God to release the anointing and the power into our life. And a changed heart produces a prospering soul and a changed life. The two keys to changing the direction of our life is the mind with the Word of God and our heart becoming attuned to the Word of God, our heart becoming the core value. The rest of our being will follow that. In other words, if our core value is set in place, that I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, then the direction of my life, which is my soul, my ambitions, my goals, my desires, will begin to change according to my core values. So if my core value is that I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, then when a situation comes up, my direction of my life is not going to run towards some other solution. It's going to say, speak the Word of God. My desires will be to speak the Word of God. My intentions of my life will be to speak the Word of God, to do the Word of God. So a changed heart produces a prospering soul and a changed life. 3 John 2, I pray, brethren, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. As your heart is being changed, as you are speaking the Word of God out of your heart, it changes your soul. It prospers your soul so that health and prosperity come to you. We need to allow the Word of God to instruct our heart. And a heart that is instructed by the Word of God will be a heart that you can begin to trust. Remember I said, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool? Well, once the Word of God is resident in your heart, and in the areas in which the Word of God has changed your heart, it allows something really unique to happen, because your heart becomes softened to the Word of God in those areas. And when your heart is softened to the Word of God in those areas that you have been changing, it allows you to hear the voice of God in those areas. See, the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, today, when you hear the voice of God, do not harden your heart. See, if our heart is softened to hear the Word of God in a particular area, say what we're talking here about healing, then we can know that we're hearing the Word of God and we can act in kind. Some challenges that Penny and I have had to deal with, having to do with her mom going to heaven and the results of that, we've really had to rely and trust in God. We know that God is our provider. We know that God directs our life. And so we have been looking to Him to resolve some of these issues that seemed insurmountable, trying to figure out, God, what should we do? You know, part of our thinking was go in a certain direction. But the more we started heading there, it was like, something's not right here. And so we kind of slowed down. We kind of backed off a little bit, kind of went into a little bit different direction. And then all of a sudden, because we did that, pow, things changed. God showed up and everything just went completely opposite. It was wonderful. But see, we were listening to the Lord because we know who our God is and we trust Him. And we know that He is our provider in everything. And so by doing that, we could listen to the voice of God in our heart and know what to do. A softened heart hears the voice of God. And this is what the Scripture tells us that our hearts are to become like. We are to have a pure heart. A heart that is uncontaminated with the things of the world, but it is a pure heart. And you can look up the Scriptures there. We are to have a perfect heart, a heart that is perfect before Him, desiring Him and Him only, desiring to do things that are right. And that's why one of the Scriptures says that we are to have a heart of righteousness. I just love that. A heart of righteousness. A heart that seeks after righteousness. A heart that wants to do things righteously. A heart that doesn't want to see things twisted and wicked and wrong, but a heart that wants to see things that are right. It says in the Scripture there, in Proverbs 15:28, it says that we are to have a heart of righteousness. Then it goes on and it says, and his lips will instruct the kings. So we want to have that heart of righteousness, purity, perfect in heart. We want to be the heart of the wise. Now, again, these are all core values. So you want to have a core value of purity, a core value that is perfect, a core value that values righteousness, a core value that is wise. In other words, with the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, the understanding of God, that hates evil, that's prudent, that knows how to look at something and is instructed by the Word of God and the voice of God of what is good and what is right. It's the same thing as feeding on the meat of God's word. When we're feeding on the strong meat of God's word, it says, and we're doing it, it says that we will know good and evil. We will know what is right and what is wrong. So we want to have the heart of the wise and the prudent, a fixed heart that is fixed on God. Psalm 112, verses 7 and 8 talk about the righteous man, who trusts fully in the Lord. It says there in verses 7 and 8, it says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Verse 8, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. His heart is fixed on the Lord. And we need to be singleness of heart. Both of those scriptures there in Ephesians 6:5 and Colossians 3:22 both refer to the same thing. It's talking about the servant that is to obey his master, not just to obey his master, but with singleness of heart that he is serving the Lord. That the employee is not working as unto man, but working as unto the Lord with a singleness of heart, not a divided heart. And we are to be seeking God with a whole heart, a heart that is fixed on him, a heart that is complete, a heart that has the Word of God engrafted into it, so that more and more we are looking for the iniquities, for the wrong thinking, for the wrong ways in our heart, so that we can have a core value that is God and God alone. And that's what will cause us to be overcomers in this life. And I also want to mention that we are to have a merry heart. A merry heart. I like one of those scriptures there. It says that a merry heart is a continual feast. A continual feast. So that there is joy in our life. And in that joy, we look at everything with brightness and with anticipation and expectation of goodness coming out of it. A merry heart that trusts in the Lord. And we know also that a merry heart is good like a medicine. One man was having some major heart challenges, and he took a month and went and watched a bunch of Three Stooges movies and whatnot. Funny stuff, and just laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. And at the end of 30 days, now this is a non-Christian, the end of 30 days, he went back to his doctor and he was healed from that heart disease. Laughter is good medicine. So a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So we want to have a core value that is set on God so that the power of God can flow out through our heart and affect the lives of those around us, be a blessing to us, and a ministry to others, so that we can overcome everything that the evil one tries to throw at us, that we can be super conquerors. So learn to guard your heart. Evaluate your life. What is the direction you're going? What needs to change? But then guard your heart so that the input that you're getting into your life is input that takes you the direction you want to go. And of course, the best input is from the Word of God. So we need to attend, to listen to it, to prick up our ears to the Word of God and not let it depart from our heart, to incline our ears to the Word of God and to do it. It's not just hearing it, but it's doing it. It's the doing of the Word that gets it into our heart. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.